Well, it's good to see all of you. Glad you're here for our Good Friday service at the close of Holy Week. We've been focusing on Christ as a high priest all week and his accomplishments. Today, we're going to focus on two passages of Scripture that records two of the last seven words of Christ. We're going to look at these two and the finality of his work and what it means for us. I would invite each of you for lunch today after the worship time. Go through the chapel and up the door and right on into the fellowship hall for a good meal and a good time of fellowship there as well. Shall we pray before we study? Father in heaven, you are the true and living God, and beside you there are no other gods. And you are holy, holy, holy. And we come to your throne of grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and under the leading of the Holy Spirit to worship you, the true and living God. So we confess our sin and ask for forgiveness of our sins and cleansing from all unrighteousness. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within each of us, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the life that you've given to us in Christ, how you dwell in us by your Holy Spirit, enabling us to live lives that are pleasing and honoring to you. As we come to study your word today, I ask that you keep the evil one from us, that you enable us to focus on you and your word as your Holy Spirit gives us instruction from the Gospels today. As we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrificing himself for our sin, being raised from the dead and ascending into heaven, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. May our worship be pleasing and honoring to you and acceptable to you. And may our hearts be encouraged, strengthened by your Spirit. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first passage we're going to look at this morning is Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to look at verses 45 and 46. Matthew 27, 45 and 46. This has to do with Christ nearing the end of his life. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, we look at 45, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. That would be from noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Excuse me. Went totally dark. Middle of the day. Totally dark. As if it was midnight. And in this time of darkness, Christ began to suffer intensely for our sin. Nothing is recorded in the Gospels that tells us the intensity of his suffering. But at this point, he has taken our sin upon himself. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as Paul was led by the Holy Spirit concerning Christ and what he has accomplished for us. In verse 21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's during this 3 hours that the Lord Jesus was taking our sin upon himself and suffering for it. Then we see in verse 46, he cries out with a loud voice, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is the human side of Christ, the human nature here, crying out. Adam, being man, rebelled against God and sinned against God, plunging mankind into sin. So it had to be a man to satisfy the wrath of God. And there's no human being that can do that without literally dying. And so God sending his son in the form of a man, Jesus being truly God and truly man. And it's in this human nature that he's crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so we have here Jesus truly suffering because of our sin. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 11 through 14. Talking about the redemption of Christ. And as God is seeing his son, Jesus the God-man, on the cross, what is he seeing from his throne in heaven? And so look at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? In this passage, we see that Jesus went into the holy places. Jesus never entered the holy places in the temple. He never went into the holy of holy places in the temple. So what is being told here is that Jesus entered the temple in heaven as a Lamb of God, atoning for our sins. And this is what God sees, is the Lamb of God being sacrificed to himself for our sins. And that sacrifice one time for all of us for eternity. Not like the priest who had to offer sacrifices on a daily basis. Now we look at Hebrews chapter 10 and beginning in verse 12. But when Christ had offered for all times a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So we see that after the Lord Jesus suffered, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, indicating that his work of sacrificing himself for our sin is complete. Now, this moves us into the Gospel of John, the second gospel that we're going to look at today concerning the crucifixion of Christ. In John chapter 19, in verse 30, Jesus is right at the end of his life. In John 19:30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Greek word there, "it is finished," is telestai. It means paid in full. And so the Lord Jesus Christ offering himself as a sacrifice for our sin totally redeemed us by His grace and His love and His mercy to us. There is not one single thing that you and I can do to merit salvation. There's not anything we can do to pay back Jesus Christ or to make up for His sacrifice. It truly is God's grace and a gift that we receive from the Father through the Son and applied to us by the Holy Spirit. So this sacrifice that's been made, what does it mean for us? In Romans 10:13, we read these words, "For whosoever believes in the Lord will be saved." Anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, believing He is God's only begotten Son, that God sent Him into the world to die for their sin, was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father. Anybody who believes that, confesses their sin, repents, and asks for forgiveness, that individual will be forgiven and be a child of God. And then in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." When Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself on the cross, He satisfied the holy and just wrath of God. So those who believe in Him will never, never face the condemnation of God. The discipline of God, yes, He's our Heavenly Father. He loves us. And when we disobey, He disciplines. But the condemnation, the judgment of God, the eternal hell that the non-believer is in, you and I who are in Christ will never face that. We will be objects of His love for eternity. And we are already. We'll experience it in the fullest sense when we go to be with the Lord. And this is what Holy Week and Easter is all about. And this is an awesome opportunity that we have as believers in our daily walk and daily routine, interacting with people that we see on a daily basis, talking to them about Easter, what does it mean for you, and having an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But for us here today, on this day that we remember the day that Jesus was crucified, this is the eternal assurance that we have from Christ and the forgiveness of our sins. And then this Lord's Day, we come to worship the true and living God and give thanks for the life that He's given to us. Shall we stand and pray? Father in heaven, thank You so much for Your love to us and Your grace and mercy to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. For loving us so much that You sent Your only begotten Son into the world to die for the sin of Your people, to raise Him from the dead. As He has victory over sin and death, we have victory over the sin and death in our lives through the Holy Spirit living in us. Father, as we go through the remainder of this day, may we be ever so mindful of Your mercy to us and the life that we have in Christ. And may we have opportunity to talk to others about Christ, sharing our faith with them, that You might bring them to Yourself through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the blessings that You've given to us through the teaching of Your Word this week. And Father, we look forward to this coming Lord's Day when we gather again to worship You and to be reminded of the resurrection of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you've taught us here in these moments of worship as we've studied your word, the fellowship that we've had with you and with one another. Continue to bless our fellowship as we break bread together. We thank you for those that have prepared this food. We thank you for the food, that you would bless it to the nourishment of our bodies and us to the work of your kingdom. Dismiss us with your grace and mercy and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.